As we think about Jesus here on earth, I think it would be good for us to try to picture in our mind how we would react if we had been one of those people that lived in Judea or in Galilee and actually came in contact with Jesus. What would have been our reaction? When we look at the reaction of the various people that met Jesus and that Jesus talked to and that Jesus taught and visited with in their homes and other things, we find a variety of reactions. And you might expect that. There were some people that were just immediately taken by Jesus. They recognized Him as somebody that was different and somebody that was a teacher and somebody they ought to listen to. There were others that when they came in contact with Jesus, they saw somebody that opposed what they believed, opposed what they taught. And so their defenses went up immediately and they kept this distance and some of them began to argue with Him. And so they spent a great deal of time, in fact, much of His ministry, then arguing with Him and then later trying to trap Him in something that He said so that they could prove Him to really be wrong. There were others who saw Jesus perform miracles and He healed people, and so they brought their sick people to Him, and all they were interested in really was, can I get my mother healed, or can I get my brother healed, or can I get healed? And so they were interested in Jesus for what they could get out of it. And closely related to that, when Jesus fed the 4,000 and then fed 5,000 with only a few small things, He says that some of them were coming to Him because they wanted loaves and fishes. In other words, they got a free meal and they thought maybe they'd get another one. And as long as they could get a free meal, they're going to hang around this fellow Jesus. But there were some people who came in contact with Jesus that had a very personal experience that changed not only their lives, but everything that they were. And in Luke chapter 5, we have a story here of Peter's great catch. And Peter's life was changed forever because of it. Jesus was at the Sea of Galilee. Peter was a commercial fisherman. And Jesus was teaching the crowd, and He had gone down by the seashore, and He was there, and the crowd got so big, and they were pressing against Him that He saw this empty boat. There were some fishermen that were there, and they had left their boats at the side of the shore there, and they were cleaning their nets, and Peter was one of them. And so He got in Peter's boat, and He told Peter, He said, how about push out just a little bit? And he did. And incidentally, I don't know why, but when I've read this story all my life, I've envisioned this little flat-bottom boat, and Jesus was in it. It says that He sat down in it, and I thought, man, can nobody see Jesus be sitting in a little flat-bottom boat? But this is a commercial fisherman's boat, so he's probably up pretty high, actually. And He sits down, and He begins to teach the people. And after He got through teaching the people, He looked at Peter, and He said, Peter, put your boat out in the deep water and throw your net in, catch some fish. Peter said, Lord, we fished all night long and we didn't catch anything. But because You tell me to do that, I'm going to. And so he goes with his boat and he goes out into deep water and he throws his net in. And the first time he pulls that net in, it's full. In fact, there's so many fish in it that the net began to break. And so he called for his fishing partners who had another boat and they came out there. And they helped him to try to get the nets. And it was so many fish that it says both of the boats began to sink. And Peter fell down on his knees before Jesus. And he said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Jesus said, Peter, well, up until now, you've been fishing for fish. But after this, you can follow me and you'll be a fisher of men. And so Peter and two of his partners, James and John, left everything they had and followed Jesus. Now, as we look at that story and we understand what went on there, I think there are some lessons for us today, and we can look at what Peter did, and I think it perhaps will help us in understanding how we can serve God and what He can do for us. Jesus, in verses 1 and 2, Jesus was teaching beside the lake. This is nothing really unusual from what He had been doing. If you go back and you look at the previous verses, He had been in the synagogues teaching, and He had taught in different places, and sometimes He was on the mountainside, sometimes in the synagogue, sometimes by the seashore. Here He was by the seashore, and so He gets in this boat, and He tells Peter, He says, okay, push out just a little bit. And Peter did. And I want you to think about what happens here. What He asks of Peter at this point is very passive. It doesn't really involve very much. Peter has nothing to lose. There's just push out a little bit into the water so that I can sit in this boat and talk to these people. Peter says, okay, I can do that. That's easy enough. And many times we react to Jesus in a very passive way just like that. But after Jesus got through teaching, He says, Peter, put out in the deep and throw your net down and catch some fish. And Peter immediately reacts because now what Jesus is asking is not so passive anymore. It's not just sit here in this boat and just wait on me, you know, throw the anchor out and sit here and wait on me a little bit. He's saying, I want you to do some work. I mean, fishing wasn't a sport for Peter. Fishing was work. This was his livelihood. And He says, I want you to put out here and I want you to fish. And so He's asking that Peter actually do something that took some effort and took some action. It took something on his part. And it's something that Peter knew something about. And I think that's worth noting too. It's what Jesus asked of Peter was He didn't say, I want you to go and do some logging for me. Peter wasn't a logger. He didn't say, I want you to go do some farming for me. Peter wasn't a farmer. He took Peter where he was. You're a fisherman. I want you to do some fishing. And what God expects of us is what He gives us. And tonight when God wants something from us, God does not want from us things that we are not capable of doing. When He asks us to do something, He takes us where we are with what we have, and He expects us to use that in His service. And it may be fishing, it may be hunting, it may be farming, whatever it is, it didn't matter. He used people where they were. And today He uses us where we are. And it may be somebody working in a factory, or it may be a school teacher. It may be a doctor, it may be a plumber. It doesn't matter what our profession is. It doesn't matter what our occupation is. It doesn't matter where we are in life. It may be older people, it may be students, it may be young people. Whatever it is, God says, let me take you where you are and let me use you in my service. And so He tells Peter, He says, put your boat out for a little bit, and I want you to catch these fish. And Peter says, but Lord, we have fished all night long. And it was interesting to me what Peter did not say. And I wouldn't be surprised if Peter didn't think some of these things. He probably thought to himself, Lord, you don't know anything about fishing. You ain't no fisherman. You're a teacher. You're a rabbi. You go around talking to people. You don't know anything about fishing. I'm a professional fisherman. I've been fishing all night long and I ain't caught anything. And you expect me to go out there and catch up. And I've got a feeling that when Peter said, okay, you tell me to do it, I'll do it, that it had as much to do with just appeasing him as it did really believing that Peter was going to catch any fish when he got out there. And so he said, okay, I'll do it. Now he could have thought to himself any number of things. He could have said, you know, I'm tired. Lord, I've been fishing all night long. I am so tired, I really just don't feel like going out there and doing it. And a lot of times that's the excuse we make, isn't it? You know, Lord, I know I need to do that, but I'm just too tired. I just don't feel like it today. I'm going to tell you something that I did, and I say this even apologetic because I really am ashamed of it. And it's been a long time since I've been up to see Brother Stanford, and I went up to visit with him for just a little while this afternoon, and I told him, and this is absolutely the truth. There's hardly ever a week goes by that I haven't planned to go see him, but for whatever reason, I didn't make it up there. And that's the way we do. We say, okay, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow comes, and we say, well, I just can't do it. I'll do it tomorrow. And the next thing you know, a week has gone by, or a month has gone by, or a year has gone by, and we still haven't done what we committed to do. It's so easy for us to make excuses and to just say, I'm tired right now, I'll do it later. And Peter could have told Jesus that. I've been fishing all night long. I fish at night. I sleep in the daytime. I'm tired. We've got our nets clean. You expect me to go out there after we went through all of this time cleaning our nets and getting them ready to store them for the day, and you want me to go back out there and mess them up again? Do you realize how much work it is to clean these nets after we throw them out there? So you see, he could have made all kinds of excuses. He could have made all kinds of even reasons. Lord, I'm by myself. My partner's over yonder, and they don't want to go, and I can't do it by myself. That's a lot of work for one man. I can't do that by myself. I need some help. But Peter didn't make all those excuses. He said, Lord, at your bidding, I'll do it. As I said earlier, I'm not fully convinced that Peter was convinced that he was going to catch a boatload of fish. But in order to appease Jesus, or because Jesus told him, and it may be that he expected Jesus to do some kind of miracle. If you back up to the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, you find that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, and immediately after he left the synagogue, he went to Peter's house. And Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of her fever. And so, probably, since it was the Sabbath day that they were in the synagogue, probably Peter had been to the synagogue, as any good Jew would have been that day, and he had listened to Jesus preach. He'd gone to the house, and he had heard Jesus talk some more, and he had seen Jesus perform a miracle. It's very likely that while he was cleaning his nets, he was listening to Jesus. After all, Jesus was in his boat. And Jesus had been teaching the people, and so it is very probable here that Peter had heard Jesus. He had seen Jesus perform miracles. He had seen Jesus do all of these wonderful things. And so he says, okay, yeah, you're Lord. I'll do what you tell me. And so he says, okay, I'll cast my nets. And so he takes his boat and he goes out there and he throws his nets out. And it's not what he expected. I've got a feeling if you had interviewed Peter before he went out there, he would have said, okay, I'm going to do what he tells me, and I may catch a fish. And then he'll think he knows where the fish are better than a real fisherman. But I'll do it anyway. But he throws his net out, and he gets so many fish that the net begins to break. And he calls for his friends who are fellow fishermen, and they come out there. And now they got so many fish that both boats are about to sink. Peter never had any idea that he was going to catch this many fish. Over in the book of John, later on, near the end of the, in fact, it's after the resurrection of Jesus, he appeared to Peter, who had gone back fishing because he thought the Lord was dead and gone. And he told Peter and John to go out there and cast their nets out, and they caught over 150 fish in one net. So now they have the nets that are so full that they're breaking and they're about to sink the boat, so they don't tell how many it was here. But here's all these fish. And you know, Peter came to a realization at this point that he had not seen before. All of a sudden, Jesus became personal, and Jesus was God. Peter hadn't seen that in the synagogue that day or the previous day. Peter had not seen that even when he healed his mother-in-law. But now he recognizes that Jesus is from God, and he falls down on his knees and he said, "I'm a sinner." He recognized not only that Jesus was God, but he recognized his lost condition and his spiritual condition, and he said, "God, I'm a sinner." And it is only when we come face to face with Jesus as God, and Jesus becomes personal in our lives, that he will make a change in us like he made in Peter. We have got to answer his call. We've got to respond to what he tells us to do. But we can go through the motions passively. We can go through the motions even more actively. But going through the motions and seeing all of this religious stuff does not make us really what God wants us to be. It is only when we can say, like the Apostle Paul, that it's no longer I who lives, but Christ Jesus lives in me, that we will see the change in our lives, in our hearts, in our attitudes, as Peter changed on that day. Jesus said, "Okay, I want you to do something now." And you think he told him a big thing to do when he told him to go fish. He said, "Now I want you to become a fisher of men." And Peter doesn't say, "But Lord." Peter doesn't say, "Well, let me..." He says, "They left everything and followed Jesus." And until we are willing to leave everything of this life to follow Jesus, we will never be what he wants us to be. Too many times we claim to be following him, but we've never really let go of this world. We've never really let go of the things of this world. John warns us. He says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world." He said, all these things have to do with now, and they're passing away. Jesus said, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And this is what he asked of Peter. And Peter gave. And Peter changed forever. He became the great apostle. He preached that first gospel sermon. Oh, Peter was still a man. He still had his problems. He still had his temptations, and he still gave in from time to time. He denied the Lord, you know that. And there were other things that Peter did that he shouldn't have done along the way. Peter wasn't perfect after this, but Peter had his heart set on serving God. He had his heart set on serving Jesus because he had learned to have a personal relationship with Jesus as his Lord. And that's what we must do if we're going to serve him as we should. Tonight, if you're here and Jesus is not your Lord in a very personal way, then you need to accept Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as the one who can give you eternal life. Confess your faith in Him as the Son of God. Turn away from sin and live for Him be baptized in His name. And He's promised that He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. And He'll make a place for you in heaven when this life is over. If you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come.